Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. This week I'd like to address again the Afghanistan situation. The media is already beginning to leave the story, which I'm sure the White House is hoping for. To show Joe Biden's mindset on this, back in 2010, when Biden was vice president, he had a meeting with the U.S. diplomat, Richard Holbrooke. And Holbrooke has the conversation transcripted in his diary, where Biden was arguing that the U.S. should leave Afghanistan, regardless of humanitarian cost. And Biden said, quote, F that. We don't have to worry about humanitarian cost. We did it in Vietnam. Nixon and Kissinger got away with it. So Biden clearly didn't see a problem with our pullout from Vietnam, and he wanted another Vietnam pullout from Afghanistan. The administration expects the public to forget the events of Afghanistan and move on to another story, but that expectation is fantasy. Because we know Nixon and Kissinger did not get away with pulling out of Vietnam. Our defeat in Vietnam became their legacy, and it hurt America's reputation and foreign policy for decades. It showed that the United States no longer had a resolve to keep its word or to defeat foreign enemies, and that set up all sorts of new conflicts for America. The events we've seen over the last few weeks have really been heartbreaking, and they shouldn't be forgotten. The Taliban celebrated with mock funerals of America. Women are being raped. The Taliban are going door to door looking to kill Christians and collaborators with the United States. The Taliban are basically the same people and the same ideology as ISIS. They all want to create an Islamic caliphate in the Middle East. They want to recreate the Ottoman Empire. They want to rule the world. And they want to start in Afghanistan. 13 Americans and 170 Afghans were killed in recent bombings. And here's Biden's legacy. He is looking at his watch during the memorial service. The administration said they would get everyone out, but they didn't. And now, as predicted, there is an American hostage situation going on in Afghanistan. The Taliban are not allowing airplanes loaded with Americans and American supporters to leave. And the State Department is trying to bury this story. State Department says it has no resources to rescue trapped flights in Afghanistan. No reliable means to confirm details. So what a disaster. There is real organized evil in this world, and those on the ideological left ignore it. They pacify it, because if the truth be told, they're part of it. They're part of the same spirit. In December of 2011, President Obama pulled out of Iraq, pulled our troops out. We left the country in relative peace. Al-Qaeda had been defeated, and the Iraqi government was anti-Al-Qaeda. But 2 years after the pullout, Al-Qaeda seized major cities in Iraq, and the Islamic Caliphate took over much of the country. Thousands of Iraqi citizens were killed. There were 71 car bombings per month. Everything we had fought for in Iraq was reversed. The Obama press secretary said that the president made a commitment to end the war in Iraq, and he fulfilled his commitment, but Obama did not end the war. He actually started a new war. But for the left, abandoning a country to war means ending a war. And the same Democrat policies of Biden will have the same tragic results. The commentator Dennis Prager does a great job of explaining the situation. Quote, that is the amoral and provincial perspective of the Democrats. All the death, torture, and fighting that has taken place because Americans have withdrawn doesn't really matter. For the Democrats and others on the left, the self-proclaimed compassionate folks, the amount of suffering caused by America withdrawing its troops is just not that important. Prager goes on to explain that back in 1975, with the same mindset, the United States abandoned Vietnam. And after America left Vietnam, about 2 million South Vietnamese were sent to re-education camps. Hundreds of thousands died from mistreatment. Between 100 and 200,000 were executed. People were sent into forced labor, slavery in new economic zones. 200,000 to 400,000 Vietnamese died fleeing Vietnam. Remember the boat people. And as soon as America left Vietnam, the communist Khmer Rouge in Cambodia were emboldened. They overthrew the Cambodian government and murdered 2 million Cambodians, one-third of the population. And then the communists took over the country of Laos. But for the left in America, the war had ended. And although there were protests on college campuses against the war, the Vietnam War, inspired by the communist student group, the SDS, there was not a word of protest about all the suffering that ensued in these countries after we pulled out. For all of their claims of compassion and justice, the left in America doesn't believe in evil, doesn't fight evil, is conciliatory toward evil. And that's the real story behind the Afghanistan pullout and the mindset that's driving it. Back in 1975, there was a young Democrat senator who said on the Senate floor, "I do not believe the United States has an obligation, moral or otherwise, to evacuate foreign nationals. The United States has no obligation to evacuate one or 100,001 South Vietnamese." Who was that senator? Joseph Biden of Delaware. And he hasn't changed his worldview since. So, as in this Yahoo News article, Afghanistan debacle is Biden's second Saigon moment. So what is God trying to show his people through all of these events? You know, many pundits are talking about this story, the shame that has fallen upon America, but what is the spiritual lesson? And there is a spiritual lesson. Remember in the parable of the wheat and the tares? The workers asked the owner, "Should we rip out the tares?" And the owner said, "No, lest while ripping out the tares, we hurt the wheat." So there's a reason why God has left the unsaved in this world. It's for the sake of the elect. And the purpose is to teach and to sanctify the saved, even to try our faith. Everyone serves some purpose, even if it's just to be a bad example. And that's the purpose for God allowing the wicked to do what they do. If it wasn't for that purpose, God would have removed every unsaved soul. For he knows who is to be saved and who is not to be saved. Joe Biden and all these unprincipled politicians are the pharaohs of this world. Romans chapter 9, verse 17. "For the scripture says to Pharaoh, 'For this very purpose I raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you, that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth.'" God put up with Pharaoh because Pharaoh was to be an example of God's power and wrath against sin, to show the stupidity and the stubbornness of the ungodly. But Pharaoh was to be an example to who? Ultimately, the Israel of God. Let's look back at that scripture being quoted from Exodus chapter 9. Because there's an amazing truth revealed there. I probably already shared this in a previous YouTube, but it bears repeating. First, Moses marches into Pharaoh's court. And he tells Pharaoh that if God wanted to, he could have put forth his hand and cut off Pharaoh and Pharaoh's people from the earth, rather than what was happening, the gradual judgment with 10 plagues. Well, that's Exodus 9:15. And then in verse 16, Moses says what's quoted in Romans 9:17. "For this cause I have raised thee up, for to show in you my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth." Now, the New American Standard translates this. Translates, I have raised thee up with I have caused you to remain. Which gives a better sense of the Hebrew. In other words, not only did God allow Pharaoh to come to power, but God is allowing him to remain. Every heartbeat of Pharaoh was allowed by God so that Pharaoh would be an example of sin. And we need to see the actions of ungodly leaders in the world today as having that purpose. God wants to show the world the end results of secular humanism, the suffering and shame people bring upon themselves when they abandon the word of the Lord. So he allows the wicked to continue. You know, Jesus said of Israel, "You are my witnesses, saith the Lord." You'll either be a witness to the blessing of obedience, or you will be a witness to the curse of disobedience. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 24. All the nations will then say, "Why has the Lord done thus to the land? Why this great outburst of anger?" Then men will say, "Because they forsook the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, which he made with them." The ungodly are to be an example of sin and the consequences of sin. And although the left tries to position itself as the righteous ones on earth, we should not make any apologies in making the truth claim that Biden and the current administration represent the wicked, the pharaohs of the world, the Ahabs and the Jezebels. They are not a righteous administration being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Texas passed a sweeping anti-abortion law to stop infanticide. And the Biden administration immediately stated that they will do everything in their power and use the whole power of the federal government to oppose this new Texas law. If you believe that people have the right to murder babies in the womb, you are truly evil. And do not be surprised if there is this moral confusion in the world between good and evil, where evil claims to be good, just, right, fair. In the biblical account, in the Old Testament prophets, this was always the moral conflict. The false prophets would always deceive the people by claiming that they were in the right, that they were morally superior, that they were the ethical people. But the true prophets would always point out that, no, these are false prophets and they're liars. And this was also the conflict between the Pharisees and Jesus. Each claimed to be righteous and accused the other of sin, but Jesus was right. So let's not be deceived by moral relativism. Some people are evil, and they will lie claiming to be good. How do you know the difference? Well, Jesus constantly said, "By their fruit you will know them." Anyone who violates direct commands of Scripture concerning sexual immorality and abortion is evil. My brethren, do not be deceived. 1 John 1:6. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. The one who says, "I have come to know him," and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So, again, my point is that the whole Afghanistan crisis is being allowed by God to teach us about sin, about the nature of fallen man. Are we learning this lesson? The other week on this program, I discussed how the Afghanistan crisis shows us the naivety, the stupidity, the callousness of the ungodly, the shame and the curse that will come upon the ungodly, how nothing that they do will succeed, how they will fall into a pit that they have made for others, how they will be like Haman, who hangs upon the gallows he builds for others, how their policies will fail because they have the wrong worldview. But the point I want to emphasize this week is how ungodly politicians lie and live a lie. And they will profess and they will believe that they are doing and have done the right thing, that they're without sin. And that's a deception in all this. The ungodly will ruin everything and still profess to their dying day that they are doing what is right and what's best for everyone. At the very least, they will say, well, we're victims, or we had good intentions. And, you know, this doesn't just go for unsaved politicians. This goes for every unsaved family member, every unsaved neighbor. People live in denial concerning their sin and failure. Now, one example that comes to my mind is the reliefs and the stelas of ancient kings found in archaeological digs. A relief means a carving or an inscription on a wall. A stela is a stone slab upon which there's writing. The ancient kings would never record their defeats in battle, only their victories. And even when they did lose, they would put a spin on it to make it look like a victory. The unsaved kings in the ancient world did exactly what unsaved politicians do today. It's all about optics. It's all about reputation and legacy. Reality becomes what you want it to be. Besides, who is to say otherwise if you can control the narrative and the history? In 701 BC, King Sennacherib and the Assyrian Empire tried to conquer southern Israel. They had Jerusalem under siege, 2 Kings 18. But King Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, and that night the angel of the Lord put to death 185,000 Assyrian soldiers camped outside of Jerusalem. How did the Assyrians record this defeat? Well, in 1830, in the ruins of Nineveh, archaeologists found Sennacherib's hexagon prism. It records Assyria's history under Sennacherib. Call it Assyria's 7th century BC version of the New York Times. And the prism states that the Assyrian king shut up Hezekiah like a bird in a cage. Not a word about Assyria's defeat, the death of 185,000 soldiers, just that Assyria had Jerusalem surrounded for a period of time. And such was the arrogance of ancient kings, never letting anyone know that they had failed. You know, Pharaoh had lived through the parting of the Red Sea. You can be sure he would have returned to Memphis and put a spin on that event, probably saying that he drove the Israelites to their death in the sea. In fact, there has not been found any Egyptian account of the death of Pharaoh and the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. And for this reason, critics of the Bible doubt it ever happened. I mean, how could such an event take place without it even being recorded? But really, that's no surprise, because the ancient kings would never record their defeats. Only Israel, having the biblical prophets, would actually be critical of the nation and write about all of the faults of the kings. And also, only Christian nations have reported the truth about their history. Look at all of the lies promoted in atheistic communistic states. They always lie about their economy, their scientific advancements, their military. And as nations and national leaders become less Christian, the more they lie, because objective truth doesn't matter anymore. What matters is that the ends justify the means, and the ends are always the exaltation of the leader in the state. So, now we hear Biden speaking to the American people, calling his defeat in Afghanistan the greatest airlift rescue in the history of the nations. Yet not a word about why there was an airlift, that America was running from the Taliban. Last week, there surfaced an audio recording of Biden speaking to the president of Afghanistan, just as the Taliban started to take over the country back in July. And Biden requested the president of Afghanistan to make it sound as if he was winning. Quote from Biden, "I need not tell you the perceptions around the world and in parts of Afghanistan. I believe is that things are not going well in terms of the fight against the Taliban. And there is a need, whether it is true or not, there is a need to project a different picture," unquote, Joe Biden. And that is Joe Biden's way of life. Lie about what's really happening, and then hopefully reality will go along with perceptions. That phone call exposes, as proof positive, that Biden operates on situational ethics, that he's a liar. I tell you, all this is happening. God has raised up all of these news outlets and these investigative reporters and the 24/7 news cycle to show God's people the sin of man, that all men are liars. But you ask, you know, how could Biden and his administration even lie about Afghanistan? Something so obvious, so blatantly disastrous, how could they put a spin on it and expect people to believe it? Well, welcome to the mind of unsaved men. They're given over to a depraved mind. Romans chapter 1, verse 28. Just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind. The unsaved lie, and they believe their own lies. The truth is not in them. Romans chapter 3, there's none righteous, no, not one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips. Psalm chapter 5, there is nothing reliable in what they say. Their inward part is destruction itself. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongues. They flatter, telling people what they want to hear. Psalm 36, the words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He ceases to be wise and to do good. Psalm 52, why do you boast, O mighty man? Your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor, O worker of deceit. Psalm 58:3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. These who speak lies go astray from birth. And in John chapter 8, Jesus said to the leadership in his day, you are of your father, the devil. He doesn't stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies, and you are the exact same way. So for the unsaved politician, it's true. How do you know when they're lying? Their mouth is moving. So let's not be naive. These people lie. They will put a spin on everything to make themselves look good. Please understand the nature of the unsaved, even our own nature, before we are new creations in Christ. You know, the New Testament constantly reminds us and warns us of this. Ephesians chapter 4, the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. They're darkened in their understanding. They're excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the hardness of their hearts. And they have become callous. They've given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. And these people are leading our country, except for the few, you know, born again, righteous, political, civil leaders. So when we see the policies and behaviors of the unsaved, we ought to think, oh, that is what those scriptures mean. People are truly depraved. They're truly the enemies of God. This is not just a lack of knowledge problem. This is not just good intentions gone awry. This is evil on parade. And one more point. What the righteous often hope for is that these people will be shamed and be faced with their utter incompetence and their sin. Now, that's not to be vindictive. We just know that no one repents unless he sees himself as ignorant and corrupt and as the sinner that he is. We who have come to know the Lord have been faced with our own depravity. It's very painful, but we also hope this for others. Plus, the shaming of the wicked is simply righteous justice. But don't hold your breath. Very few people, even civic leaders, will ever feel shame or regret. They will go to their grave thinking that they have been persecuted for righteousness' sake. People who sin don't see their sin, otherwise they wouldn't be sinning in the first place. Don't underestimate the denials and the delusions of the people of this world. Remember Matthew chapter 7. At the judgment, the lost will say, "Didn't we do many wonderful works?" And Jesus will profess to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." Remember Matthew 25. Those on Jesus' left will say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. They were totally unaware of their neglect because they didn't discern correctly who is righteous and who is wicked, who should be supported and who should be shunned. Not only does the left lie, they support the wrong people. Proverbs 24:24, they say to the wicked, "You are righteous." Proverbs 17:15, they justify the wicked and condemn the righteous, and so they're an abomination to the Lord. PJ Media article, Biden's national security advisor refuses to call Taliban the enemy of the United States. Another article, Biden seems more determined to fight Texas over its anti-abortion law than the Taliban. Proverbs 17:15 in action. They justify the wicked and they condemn the righteous. Oh, and remember this? The Democrat president, Barack Obama, sent a plane load of cash, $400 million to Iran, and then later $1.3 billion. Iran is a nation that clearly supports terrorism in the Middle East. It funds Hamas and Hezbollah. Why would you send cash to those people unless you want to pay people under the table or you're trying to remove the paper trail? But now, 5 years later, another Democrat in the White House, Joe Biden, gives the Taliban $80 billion in weapons and equipment. The administration knew perfectly well that the Taliban was going to get that equipment. How does that happen? Well, there's an ideological camaraderie with these terrorists. Psalm chapter 50, verse 8, when you see a thief, you are pleased with him. Proverbs 17:15, they justify the wicked and they condemn the righteous. But that's a whole different subject. My topic today is the lies of the left. So I could take a month of programs and really go through all of the lies regarding, you know, this Afghanistan situation. But let me just mention a few. Biden told George Stephanopoulos and the public last week that Americans would stay until every American was removed. He lied. He pulled out with hundreds of Americans still trapped. They couldn't get to the Kabul airport. Another lie, Joe Biden administration is saying that we don't have to have a presence in Afghanistan anymore. We can do counterinsurgency operations with over-the-horizon drone strikes. But military people are saying that that's impossible. Without troops on the ground and without a nearby airport, we will not be able to stop the growth of Al-Qaeda in terrorist camps. And again, it's telling the public what they want to hear when they're worried about American safety. Remember again what Biden told the president of Afghanistan? There is a need, whether it's true or not, there is a need to project a different picture. Here's a Washington Post story. Biden was saying that the Afghanistan army was 300,000 strong, larger than those of our NATO allies, and that's a lie. The 300,000 number was complete fiction. Another lie. The administration has been trying to convey the image that the Taliban is not such a bad group, that they're working with us, that they're going to rule their people in a fair way. Yet the Taliban is Al-Qaeda, and Al-Qaeda is the Taliban. It was the Taliban that sponsored Al-Qaeda and bin Laden back in 2001. Here's an article. The Taliban announced the formation of a new government on Tuesday, and it didn't surprise anyone when it named a member of a U.S.-designated terrorist group and former detainees at the Guantanamo prison camp as high-ranking members. The Taliban has promised to form an inclusive and more moderate Islamic government, but the cabinet announced yesterday contains no members of the former government and is filled with terrorists wanted in the United States, people on sanction lists, and hardline Islamists. So it's a lie that the Taliban are not terrorists and they're going to work with us. Another spin. After the bombing that killed 13 Marines and 170 Afghanistans, Biden vowed revenge on those who did it. Then the U.S. military claimed to have targeted two ISIS planners in a precision target on their vehicle. But look up the backstory here. The administration will not release the names of those men. Were they really high-value targets? Or was this just something to do to save face? It looks like the Taliban gave the U.S. this information. So it's merely two men that the Taliban wanted to get rid of. In a second strike against ISIS, a civilian family was killed, including seven children. Matt Vespa, in an article, Biden can't even do drone strikes right. Quote, I'm not saying we should nix drone strikes, but it looks like Joe Biden just decided to kill some people to appear as if he was doing something. Why? Well, if our intelligence community was so good, how did we miss Osama bin Laden's former security chief waltzing into Kabul? What Matt Vespa was referring to was a picture that recently emerged of Osama bin Laden's former security chief coming with his entourage to take power in Kabul. But the big lie, the grand fantasy was last week's speech. After the August 31st deadline, Biden gives a victory speech depicting his pullout from Afghanistan as a huge success, as the right thing to do. And I'm sure low information voters would be swayed by his speech. That is, if you don't realize he was calling evil good and good evil. He was calling cowardice the courage to do what no other president would do, pull troops out of Afghanistan. He began by saying that the airlift was the greatest in history, like bragging that a nation had the greatest retreat in the history of warfare. Quote, only the United States had the capacity and the will and the ability to do it. And we did it today. And what was that? Running from the Taliban. Biden said the extraordinary success of this mission was due to the incredible skill, bravery, and selfless courage of the United States military, our diplomats, and intelligence professionals. Selfless courage? Selfless courage would mean first supporting the Afghan military, then withdrawing after the nation was stable, then getting out all American supporters, American citizens, then all American equipment, then finally remove the military. According to military experts, Biden as commander-in-chief did everything backwards in the withdrawal from Afghanistan, and he was chased out. Remember this old news story? President Obama tried to keep Biden from becoming the Democrat candidate. He is recorded telling fellow Democrats, don't underestimate Joe Biden's ability to F things up. So that is a Democrat's view of Biden. But Biden is congratulating himself in this speech. But the real error in his address, the big lie, was his explanation that removing troops was a virtue, that it's right for the American people, that it's a just thing to abandon a nation since they would not or could not fight for themselves. And this is what some conservatives are even saying. But say what you will about our involvement in Afghanistan in the first place. Once you commit to a nation, once you make a promise as a nation, you must keep your promises. We create a safe zone for people in the Middle East to stand against radical Islam. And once we establish that zone and expose those people, we need it to stay with them. We've had troops in Germany and South Korea for the last 70 years to keep our promises and to keep the peace. NATO was actually furious with Biden for not contacting them concerning the pullout. Biden never even asked for NATO or UN peacekeepers. Well, there's not time for me to go into all this. Maybe I'll address this on a future date. But nations, biblically, are obligated to keep their promises, even if those promises were ill-advised. Remember the Gibeonites? Joshua made a covenant with the Gibeonite people because Joshua didn't seek the Lord. But Israel was now obligated to protect and to provide for the Gibeonites. In 2 Samuel 21, we read that Saul violated his covenant with the Gibeonites and a curse came upon Israel. And also in the book of Obadiah, the curse that came upon Edom because they stood aloof when violence was being done to Israel when they could have done something. Obadiah verse 10, because of the violence to your brother Jacob, you will be covered with shame and you'll be cut off forever on the day that you stood aloof. Obadiah 15, for the day of the Lord draws nearer on all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your dealings will return on your own head. But again, that's another discussion. There's so much to be said about this crisis in Afghanistan. There are so many biblical truths that speak to this event. In short, our leaders do not follow the word of the Lord. They follow lies. Do we realize the modus operandi of the world? It's lies. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 3, they bend their tongue like their bow. Lies and not truth prevail in the land, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, declares the Lord. Let everyone be on guard against his neighbor, and do not trust any brother, because every brother deals craftily, and every neighbor goes about as a slanderer. Everyone deceives his neighbor and does not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves committing iniquity. Your dwelling is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit, they refuse to know me, declares the Lord. The Biden administration's actions in Afghanistan give new meaning to those prophetic verses. It is true. We live in the midst of deceit. One final thought. As I was working to finish up my notes on this program, and this theme that the Afghanistan crisis demonstrates what God says about mankind's universal deceit, I came across this opinion piece by Dennis Prager entitled, "This is Manifestly Not Saigon and Our Society of Lies." And in this piece, Prager is pointing out the self-deluded lies from our Secretary of State, Blinken, who, when commenting on American helicopters picking up Americans from the roof of the U.S. Embassy in Kabul, Blinken said, "This is manifestly not Saigon." When in reality, it's worse than Saigon. I mean, even the liberal media outlet, The Atlantic, says so. But then Prager goes on to discuss the point that I've been making in this program. Quote from Prager. That statement from Blinken sums up the state of the United States of America. We have become a society of lies. As I have known since I've studied the Soviet Union and communism at the Russian Institute of Columbia University, truth has never been a left-wing value. People on the left are committed to saying whatever furthers their agenda, true or false. So Prager has come to a similar analysis of the situation. This whole event is showing us the lies of the left. Now, Prager is not a Christian, but he's an Orthodox Jew. And in that, he knows the law of God, and he knows a lie when he sees one, and he knows it's wrong. But then Prager goes on to explain that the lies in our culture are not only in foreign policy, but they're appearing everywhere. Quote from Prager: "Now you can see how the statement about Kabul is related to the statement that men can give birth. Why the left denies that out-of-wedlock births is the major contributor to crime and violence, not the police. Why the left made up the Russian collusion hoax. Virtually the entire education establishment, from elementary school to graduate school, is a world of lies. Indeed, education in America has nothing to do with education, as Americans and the rest of the West have always understood the term. The concept of objective truth, the basis of education, is now denounced as white supremacy." According to the Oregon Education Department, even the understanding that math has a correct answer is a function of white supremacy. Virtually no major institution in the United States is committed to the truth. The American Medical Association just announced that birth certificates should no longer list sex because we do not know the sex of a baby. We know the sex of every mammal on this planet, but not that of human beings. And medical schools, yes, medical schools, are no longer to refer to those who give birth as women, but as birthing persons. Breastfeeding is now referred to as chest feeding. Prager goes on to cite the lies of COVID-19 and Anthony Fauci. Quote, "That is why Bilkin's lie is like water off of a duck's back. The left has made truth a non-issue in America. It has made us a society of lies." Unquote, Dennis Prager. The Afghanistan crisis is a parade of lies. But before I said it, and before Dennis Prager said it, God's word said it. Jeremiah chapter 9, "Your dwelling is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, declares the Lord." And the answer is not simply to try harder to tell the truth, not to try harder to obey the law for salvation, but to come to Jesus Christ as the atonement for our sins, and to be born again by his power to save. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for making God and country one part of your discipleship in the Word. Don't forget to subscribe, to share, to leave a comment below, and may Jesus Christ reign.